The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, it's always a pleasure to welcome clinical psychotherapist on the PK Show, Stephanie Regan, who is an expert on all things to do with relationships, emotions, and so on. And today she wants to talk about perfectionism. And demanding perfectionism from yourself and others has many complications. Perfectionism is defined about striving for flawlessness, setting excessively high standards, and being overly critical of oneself and indeed others. Stephanie, you're welcome.
Thank you, Ivan.
Now,
how are you?
I was reading your brief.
Yes.
On the train coming up yesterday because I had to be up here early.
Okay.
And would you believe it? I thought perfectionism. And, you know, I believe in the thing John Bruton used to always say, don't let the best be the enemy of the good.
Yeah.
And what happened? Got on the train. And they said, now we'll be stopping in Goree and Wicklow and I don't know where else because the toilets aren't working and you can get out at the station. So I knew that Nicky, the driver, and I said, what's the story here? He said, some bloody idiot didn't empty the tanks when the train came out of Dublin. And I kind of said, well, we could do with a lot more perfectionism in this country because standards are so shoddy because people aren't perfectionist. Am I a completely a dinosaur on this issue?
A tiny bit. I think, yeah, you're talking there about corporate and, you know, shoddy standards. And yeah, I wouldn't see an awful lot of perfectionism in Irish Rail.
So is it it really OCD we're talking about?
No.
Obsessive attention to detail.
Well, I think there's a range.
Okay.
I think that it often hides behind, you know, high achievement. You will see people who are very successful. They often can be kind of compulsively high performers, you know. So I suppose perfectionism can kind of hide behind that and it kind of masks what's going on underneath. So for some people, I mean, look, a little bit of perfectionism, high standards, that's important. You know, that's what we should strive for. So some of it has to be motivating. But if you are the person who is never good enough, it's never good enough. They can never stop. You've met them. We've all met them.
Oh, I'd be one myself.
Yeah. Don't think so, Ivan. And me either. But there is a striving that goes on and there is a dissatisfaction with themselves that goes on. Even when everything is wonderful, it's still not good.
They're never satisfied.
They're never finished.
Okay.
The job is never done. They're never over. It's never complete. So they've never got to the point where they say, it's good enough and I will draw the line there. And the problem with that is that not only is it very hard on themselves, but it can be very hard on the people that they are living with. And it can, you know, obviously there's lots to say about where it can arise from, where it can come from. But
so give us some examples
of
perfectionism.
Well, people, for example, you will see it in an obsessive way. You will see it in, people overly cleaning. You will see, you know, overly cleaning, never being finished. You know, you haven't hardly eaten your dinner and they're taking it from under you to sweep it up and wipe it up. That's over the top. You know, that's over the top kind of cleaning. But also I would see it perfectionistic in, you would see it in people who, for example, cannot tolerate disarray. You know, so it has to be right. Do you know, they have a way. It's not that it is perfect.
Mm.
It is that for them it feels perfect. So it feels ordered. It feels like everything is where it should be. They can't deal with the presses, you know, with the dishes not done, with stuff not put away. And that's very hard to live with. And then in a work sense, they're the person who has only one way to do it, their way. They can't collaborate well because they can't delegate well. So there's lots of places where it brings issues.
Yeah, like I definitely suffer from this because like I have all my files and all my things in a particular area. And if a painter comes in and they're not where I want, I go berserk. Deirdre has this infuriating habit of not putting things in the dishwasher, not rinsing them before and just leaving them in the sink. It drives me spare. I mean, surely these are good things. Let's have a little bit of order. We've all got too soft in our ways, no?
No, I don't agree, you see. I think it's different ways. I think we all have spouses like that, just to say.
Okay.
Somebody puts them, you know, somebody does things differently. I think perfectionism is a little bit more, it is really something much more tense in the person. It is really.
There's something more going on.
Yeah, they're more tense about it. Do you know, it's not fun. Like where you would say, put the blooming things in the dishwasher, will you? You know, or that drives me mad.
Yeah.
But the perfectionist will hardly be able to live with you while that's going on. You know, they can't leave it there. They have to get it done.
Sort of lack of sense of proportion.
A lack of proportion, a kind of, also this tension that's inside that they're trying to kind of rid themselves of.
Yes, I'm like that about punctuality. Is that is that another thing?
Ivan, you're not a perfectionist.
Am I not? Okay.
No.
Okay. So what is this sort of clinical psychotherapy? In other words, what's the lacking thing going on, the subliminally?
Yeah, so there's something going on. Okay, so think about it this way. The perfectionism can either come from yourself. Obviously, high standards is not the same thing. And I really say that.
Okay.
Maybe you have, you know, definite standards about things, but this is slightly different. It is really where the person is very hard on themselves. They expect an awful lot from themselves. Now, where that comes from, that may come from parents, that may come from, you know, from a very rigid set of rules at home or whatever. It also may come from a kind of, you know, a demand on others. And that also comes from many things in life. But where they expect an awful lot from the other person, so that becomes this demanding person in your life. That can be, I mean, that can arise for all sorts of reasons.
Is this common?
Yes, it is common.
Like 25, what sort of
proportion? Well, 25 to 30% of the general population would talk about being highly perfectionistic, to have tendencies, not their whole, you know, everything about
one in four, one in three.
It's quite a lot. And, you know, for those, and then it crosses all sorts of diagnoses, like people who have depression, people who have anxiety, you know, it's also often within that. People who have eating disorders, 70% of those who present with eating disorders have perfectionistic tendencies. That's a lot.
It's kind of irrational perfectionism,
yes,
is it?
Exactly. Okay. That's in a way, exactly. That's a good way to put it.
No.
It's charged, loaded, emotionally loaded, psychologically loaded desire to have perfection.
Okay. Okay, because I do sort of come at this that a little bit of perfection isn't a bad thing.
A little bit of perfection.
If people are sloppy in their standards, they need to be called out.
A little bit of perfection and high standards, that's a good thing.
What's the difference between men and women?
Well, men and women in this context, funny, they are actually a little different in that in both the kind of perfectionism that they tend to have and in the way that it impacts them.
Because women do nag a lot, don't they?
Yeah, men nag a bit too, Ivan. Women score higher on the socially prescribed, i.e. what society expects from them, that kind of perfectionism, where they feel they are being, in many ways, that society is demanding perfection from them. So they score higher on that. Men,
so in terms of preponderance,
yes,
women are more perfectionists than men?
Not more. In fact, more that the kind of perfectionism that they display is more orientated towards what they think society will ask of them, rather than where men tend, it tends to be about a more self-orientated sort of judgments and other-orientated, in other words, the person that they are with or in relationship with.
Okay, we just had a text from Rosemary who said that her husband called her from work to say they're just talking about her on News Talk. So obviously the charge from Rosemary's husband is that she's perfectionist.
Perfectionistic,
yes. Okay.
Which is an interesting point. People can see it in others, but it's quite hard to see it in themselves. And if I may say, Ivan, sometimes it just gets masked in high standards. People say, oh, I just have high standards and you're a slob. That's not how it is.
You know, someone just texted.
Go on.
God, I love how she's calling out Ivan for his misogyny. I'll have to think about that one. Come back to me on that one, because I do a lot for my wife and I don't consider myself misogynistic.
No,
but
I
do
think
consider,
so.
I do think I have a point about the dishwasher, though. But anyway,
okay,
so how
going.
Could this result in a negative impact on a person if it's unfettered?
Well, there's lots of things. First of all, it does damage relationships. It does, but it also damages the self, because in a way you're never happy. You know, you're never satisfied. This person is always sort of spinning for more, looking to do more. So at an energy level and an anxiety level, it's quite, you know, it's kind of like a whirring wheel all the time in the person. So, and also then, like that husband who mentions, you know, it's not very nice to be around the person who is exacting all the time about everything. You know, people come home to their own home and, you know, want to just put their feet up and maybe just be a little relaxed about standards here and there. And I see I hear it a lot in couples, this, you know, this difference. And I find myself often saying, well, it's his home too. You know, he comes home to relax. She comes home to relax, because men sometimes are also perfectionistic.
So are you saying give and take?
Well, it's not just give and take. It's also to recognize that home is a place to relax, is a place where you have to be able to put your feet up mentally and emotionally as well. Okay. So, and what so can you do about
if
it?
Someone suffers it from yes. it, what's the antidote?
The antidote is, first of all, you often have to do a little bit of work if you want, if you're prepared to unpick it. The first is to acknowledge it, that you're maybe a little over the top or that you're feeling a little driven. I had a lovely girl in with me this week and she said to me, you know, she said, Stephanie, I've been perfectionistic since I was about, this is what prompted it actually in my mind, perfectionistic, she said, since I was in school. She said, you know, it made me drink as an adolescent. It made me, you know, abuse all sorts of things as life went on. And she said, I realise now that's what was driving me. And I thought it was quite interesting. So there was many other things within it. And so she was saying it's masked and it's not said very much. And I thought, yeah, I hear you. You know, I really hear that. So I would encourage people, if they have really strong perfectionistic tendencies that they're finding difficult to control, it's usually about something inside themselves. So, or it's something about the parenting style that they had. Now, we can't change what has happened, but we can change how you think about it. So a little bit of CBT, you know, a little bit of cognitive behavioral therapy, which is just, you know, a kind of a 4-session model or six session model, where you touchstone in on these kind of beliefs that you are holding about standards, about mistakes, about other people and how they behave and how you are better or whatever, these kind of things. And you touch in on those and we try and unpick the source of that and reframe it. That is how people shift a little bit on this. We also teach them how to kind of be kind of kinder to themselves and kinder to others and kinder about mistakes, you know, mistakes, sloppiness, a little bit of it's okay. Mm. A little bit of it is okay. So it's about learning to be kind to yourself and to others, looking deeper to see if, I mean, this is obviously the psychoanalytic approach, but in a psychoanalytic way, we would always look to see what is this helping you not to feel? And often, if a person keeps a high level of order around them, they are really defending against the chaos or something chaotic that's inside themselves. Something that happened, something that made them feel
that. Okay, no, I get that. And you can bring them help and a process to go that, get through that and come out the other side of it. Okay.
Short enough.
Okay. Louise asks, could you please ask Stephanie if there is an issue if one is too relaxed about order?
Yes, equally. That can be a problem. It's not what we're, you know, dealing with today. People can be resistant to any rules. And that's often, again, a parental kind of a positioning around parenting. In other words, they reject all order.
How can people get in touch with you, Stephanie?
StephanieRegan.ie.
OK, couldn't be simpler. Thank you, StephanieRegan.ie. Great advice on things that you may not superficially think are a problem, but there could be something deeper happening. Now, coming up...
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.